American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day! This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the Internet for Monday, November 2nd, 2008. And that's right, you're listening to Newsreel, the Wall Global sit-rep on core political tyranny, technology, and trends for your headspace and timing. RAND Media is taking a stand for free speech today, and just by listening and distributing this broadcast, you are too, aren't you, though? You can follow up on all these news stories, and you can check my facts by going to my live journal, and you can get to my live journal by going to Sean, SEAN_Kennedy.livejournal.com. This would be a free podcast. If only you would listen to it, it would actually have value. This would be like, I would be like a payment. This is like an investment. This is an investment podcast. This is a win-win podcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, SRN1, Wild Bunch Radio, WN1 Media Network, KJAG Radio, Pure Rock Radio, Non-Surveyum Radio, Osprey Networks, CreekRadio.net, Radio Red Mercury, and we are still broadcasting, despite all the crap, at Second Life. Note Archers, but we have a new grid now. Apparently the new grid is at Archer still, but it is at 155-74-666. And once I figure out how to actually teleport over there in some sort of graphical user arrangement, we will be doing that. But until that point, I don't actually know what's going on how to move it, so I'm somewhere around there. If you show up, don't worry, just hang out with people. Eventually you'll get somewhere and just look for a guy who looks like a really, really old dude wearing a kung fu outfit who's yelling at the top of his lungs, and you would have found him. Have no feedback. Not a lot of feedback. Not getting a lot of feedback on the show. I think people get frustrated because I tease them. And then I won't let them rebuttal, so they stop talking to me. Which is, you know, acceptable. That's an acceptable thing. Arguing on the internet is like being in the Special Olympics. Even if you win, you're still retarded. So it's a very good idea not to argue about stuff online. Don't take this stuff seriously. Come on. It's just like the show. You know, take what you want, leave what you don't. But let's talk about what we want. What we want is news! And in Hunter Killer News, a noted U.S. air and space crazy techware firm engaged in building comparatively humdrum hover kill bot has strongly suggested that their machine could in fact function as a long yearned for flying car or flying bike anyway. Aurora Flight Sciences of Virginia is already well known for its efforts on crewless stratocruiser planes, both hydrogen-fueled and, more radically, of sun-harvesting, Z-wing tilt-ship configuration. The company has also been working for a while on its Excalibur ducted fan takeoff, vertical takeoff aircraft. The Excalibur looks really freaking cool. Okay, let's just, of all the flying cars that I've seen so far, the Excalibur looks really, really cool. All right, I'm just saying. If I was going to get one, and it was all the thing looks like a G.I. Joe toy. Alright, it's got like the two ducted fans, long nose that you kind of sit inside. It's kind of like if G.I. Joe designed the original Star Wars land speeder is what this thing looks like. It's very, very sexy. Very, very sexy. The Excalibur, I mean, it's even, you know, the G.I. Joe Excalibur X-50. You know, it even sounds like it's a G.I. Joe thing. The Excalibur is offered as a fairly normal, high-autonomy aerial weapons platform that is normal among late-generation killer robots. It's a prime mover, like most high-performance aircraft, is a turbine. The special sauce, which makes it stand out among the ducted fan craft, is that the fans themselves are driven electrically using turbine-generated juice rather than a mechanical gearbox, so saving on weight and allowing the main drive to be optimized for propelling the hoverplane forward in flight using it to lift from its wings. Aurora has so far seen the Excalibur functioning in normal times as an attack craft, packing such traditional killbot favorites as Hellfire missiles and Viper Strike pocket-sized smart glider bombs. which are on sale in aisle four right now. Excalibur could face tough competition in this roll from helicopters, both manned and unmanned, which can probably outperform it in the hover from the winged aircraft, which can probably match or exceed its cruise and loiter performance. Now, however, the company seems to suggest that the innovative winged hover ship could carry out missions, making the most of its small footprint and vertical landing abilities. In particular, company reps have told the military press that the Recon Excalibur could carry, here it is, wait for it, a single human passenger, perhaps a special forces operator, perhaps it would be RoboCop. Given the craft's high level of autonomy, it requires no remote piloting, even for landing and takeoff. This passenger wouldn't need to be a qualified pilot. So it's a drop pod. You hit the button, you get inside, you punch in your coordinates, and off you go. Away to the races with you, Excalibur drop pods. There are still a few quibbles, like it doesn't exist. It's vapor, okay? Apparently the full-size manlifter Excalibur will be 21 feet wide, 23 feet long. Rather large for a flying bike. Okay, everybody else who thinks this is a stupid hand, opposed. Right, okay, well, so, that's a dumb reason not to build it. Please build one. I'll take three. I'll need a backup one to keep on the roof. You know, it would be really sick, because if you had a vehicle like this, right, you know, everybody wants to have spare cars, you know, want to have the safe car and stuff like that, so you'd wind up, instead of guys having garages with, like, cars stored in them, you'd have, like, you know, camnets set up on top of buildings and stuff that, as long as you got to your flying car, you know, which you've already got, you know, instead of your truck sack, you got your flying truck sack. I mean, it'd be insane. It would be insane. Anyway, in Mad World News, which, if everything is going, that's what I'm putting on the end of the show this time, will be Mad World, because some of these news stories tonight are pretty goddamn depressing. The flying car one's kind of an up one, but in Mad World News, in their infinite wisdom, customs officials in Hong Kong have arrested a child for sharing music on the internet, period, full stop. Thanks for calling. The 14-year-old boy, who's too young to be named, but he's not too young to be organ harvested, is alleged to have uploaded Chinese language pop songs known as Cantopop for others to download for free. Now the Cantopop has hit the fan. In order to better understand the position of this teenager and the craziness of today's society, I'm reading this news through my memory of what it was like to be 14 again. Schools, friends, acne, the opposite sex, and computer. I love them in all their 8-bit glory. So customs officials in Hong Kong have arrested a 14-year-old boy. The boy is suspected of having uploaded 2,000 Chinese language pop songs onto the internet. I'd love to be able to tell this kid's name, but unfortunately the law says he's too young to be named. I'm sure the kids today are much smarter and advanced than I was, so hopefully he's not too young to understand what is happening to him. The not knowing would add considerably to his ordeal. According to the customs spokesman, Michael Kwan, the teenager had been sharing Cantonese pop songs, known locally as Cantopop. When I was 14, I had cassette tapes filled with music, pop music too, all of it copied from anyone who had a copy. I doubt if I had 2,000 tracks, but I certainly had an impressive arsenal of jam-packed C90s. And I happily copied them for anyone with a blank tape. In fact, faced with no money but a thirst for pop music, all of my friends copied off each other, and the recipients of those copies all shared those with everyone else. It never crossed our minds that we'd be arrested for it, not once, since arrest seemed to be reserved for the glue-sniffing vandals who my parents warned me to stay away from, which I did happily. Copyright infringements in Hong Kong apparently carry a maximum penalty of 4 years in jail. 4 years in a Chinese prison for copying songs. That's fair. That makes a lot of... No, that's fucked up. And a fine of $50,000 or $6,000 US for every item violated. So, if each song has a license, you copy an album, you could get like 30 fucking years. Hello? A worrying amount for an adult, even those who have the means to raise cash. I once ran up a $30 telephone bill for my parents through my generous use of a 1275 modem. Through my kids' vision, it seemed like end of the world, even though the phone company was the boogeyman, not the police or entertainment companies. Mr. Kwan, the head of Hong Kong's Copyright Investigation Division, told at a press conference the boy had made a post in a forum indicating he had songs for download. A press conference for a 14-year-old kid sharing music? Could I have imagined being arrested at 14 for taping music, taken away, and being the subject of a discussion of a government press conference? Hardly. But maybe I should have been. They say standards are slipping in society. Maybe police and media companies are coming down hard on children is the solution. The kid with no name has been set free on bail for 2,000 Hong Kong dollars, roughly 260 bucks, and has not been charged while police make further inquiries. Hopefully, the investigation won't interfere too much with his schoolwork and revision at its crucial point of his education. Or maybe diversion away from schoolwork is cool in the eyes of the hormonal teenager. I think I'd be happy to have a few disrupted math lessons, but then again, in hindsight, I didn't understand how important they were. After all, I was just a kid. But of course, all kids grow up. We leave school and start earning our own money and start making those important decisions about where to spend it, which are probably shaped by previous life experience and dreams of the future. We also decide who to vote for. I didn't grow up in a lock-up pirates and throw-away-the-key environment, yet I'm still disturbed and concerned about how copyright enforcement is heading. Going to war against today's potential customers seems foolish, punishing, and polarizing children. Tomorrow's customers, at the behest of big business, is a completely different league, which couldn't be in any more truth news. I mean, that's absolutely insane. But that's where we're going with this. That's where we're going with this. And when I say we, I don't mean we as in the global world state. I'm talking about the Western world, guys. I'm talking about the North American Union. You know, the whole Manifest Destiny thing, North America. America, Canada, and Mexico, as you understand them, no longer exist. You need to come to grips with that. The sooner you get to come to grips with that, the further ahead you will be than your fellow man who doesn't even have a clue that this is happening right now. Okay, like, this is totally insane. This is a story, originally, okay, this was, the sources for this are the Center for International Policy, May 30th, 2007. The Global Research, Militarization and Annexation of North America from July 19th of 2007, and from Global Research on August 2nd, North American Union, the SPP hostile takeover of democratic government and the end to the rule of law. Leaders of Canada, U.S., and Mexico have been meeting secretly to expand the North American Free Trade Agreement with deep integration of a more militarized trinational homeland security force. Taping shape under the radar of respective governments and without public knowledge or consideration, the Security and Prosperity Partnership, SPP, headquartered in Washington, aims to integrate the three nations into a single political, economic, security bloc. Period, full stop. The SPP was launched at a meeting of Presidents George W. Bush and Vincent Fox and Prime Minister Paul Martin in Waco, Texas, on March 31st, 2005. Some other things that happened in Waco, Texas. The official U.S. webpage describes the SPP as a White House-led initiative among the United States, Canada, and Mexico to increase security and enhance prosperity. The SPP is not a law or a treaty or even a signed agreement. All of these would require public debate and participation of Congress. The SPP was born in the War on Terror era and reflects an inordinate emphasis on U.S. security as interpreted by the Department of Homeland Security. Its accords mandate border actions, military and police training, modernization of equipment, and adoption of new technologies, all under the logic of U.S. counterterrorism campaign. The head of Homeland Security, Michael Chertoff, along with Security State Condoleezza Rice and Secretary of Finance Carlos Gutierrez, are the three officials charged with attending SPP ministerial conferences. So basically it would be your Secretary of State, your head of Homeland Security, and the Secretary of Finance who are all part of this stuff. Measures to coordinate security have pressured Mexico to militarize its southern border. U.S. military elements are already operate inside of Mexico, and the DEA and FBI have initiated training programs for the Mexican army, now involved in a drug war, federal and state police, and intelligence units. It's worthy to note here that there's a hot war going on with Mexico right now. There are active shooters going on right now along the Mexican border in the United States. Okay, that needs to be said, and people need to understand that there are actual gun battles that are happening right now. Okay, so, kind of freaky, you know, you gotta keep this in perspective. It's a pretty crazy world we're living in right now, and, you know, it's a hell of a lot more cyberpunk than you might think. The SPP created the North American Competitiveness Council, NACC, that serves as an official trinational SPP working group. The group is composed of representatives of the 30 giant North American companies, including General Electric, Ford Motors, General Motors, Walmart, Lockheed Martin, Merck, and Chevron. The NACC's recommendations center on private sector involvement being a key step to enhancing North America's competitive position in global markets and as a driving force behind innovation and growth. The NACC stressed the importance of establishing policies for maximum profits. So it goes on to talk about how realistically, we're going to lose our countries without anyone really being aware of it. And is that a bad thing? I'm not too sure it is. I mean, symbolism is great and everything, but let's leave symbols for the symbol-minded, shall we? I mean, we are all one culture. We are all one people. So borders can kind of work against us in a lot of ways. Now, we can be very xenophobic about this stuff. I mean, there's a lot of reasons why we wouldn't want to have, you know, because, I mean, we're dealing with North America here. We're like the 10% of the world's population that own 90% of the shit, right? So, you know, I don't know. This is where you start thinking about ideas like what's more important than you versus, you know, I don't know. I don't got the answers. But a lot of people are really excited about this. Some people think it's a good idea. Some people don't think it's such a great idea. I want to go to space. I think that if we were a one-world government, we would probably get to space easier. You know what I mean? So it could be good, it could be bad. It all depends. But let's talk a little bit more about what they're doing with the war on terrorism with the Thought Crime News. In a startling affront to American freedoms of expression, privacy, and association, the Violent Radicalization and Homegrown Terrorism Prevention Act, this is H.R. 1955, passed the House on October 23rd, 2007, by a vote of 404-6. I should have had this story last time, because that's my birthday, October 23rd. The Senate is currently considering a companion bill, S-1959. The act would establish a national commission and a university-based center for excellence to study the proposed legislation to prevent the threat of radicalization of Americans. Now, this is directly affects us. This is directly affects the people who listen to Newsreel. Okay. Author of the bill, Jane Harriman, explains, "We're studying the phenomenon of people with radical beliefs who turn into people who would use violence. The act states, while the United States must continue its vigilant effort to combat international terrorism, we must also strengthen efforts to combat the threat posed by homegrown terrorists based and operating within the United States. Understanding the motivational factors that lead to violent radicalization, homegrown terrorism, and ideology based on violence is a vital step towards eradicating these threats in the United States." So unless we're all Teletubbies, and unless, you know, I'm bouncing around balloons all the time, I guess I'm trying to radicalize the youth here. No, I'm talking about reality. The act's purpose goes beyond academic inquiry. However, in a press release, Harmon stated the National Commission will propose to both Congress and the Department of Homeland Security, Michael Chertoff, initiatives to intercede before radicalization individuals turn violent. It's bizarre. Why would you have a law? It goes on, and I've got a lot of news I got to cover here tonight. But essentially, it goes on to state that they've got the framework in place to stop radicalization of people. Now, this is very Red Scare 1950s. Have you now, or have you ever been a member of the Communist Party? You know, have you now, or have you ever been a fan of Rant Radio? And for God's sake, say no. You know, there's no reason for anybody to go be a martyr, right? The whole point of everything that we do is to survive, okay? So, you know, I would hope that there's some way that we can prevent history from repeating itself. I would hope that there's going to be some way we can get around that. I'm not too sure that there is. Maybe if there's, we keep doing what we're doing, maybe if we can, I mean, we, you know, we've got to remember not to fight, you know, with our own people. We have to get on side and have some sort of sense of cohesion. Otherwise, there's a big problem. Okay, there's a really big problem. Now, in illegal plant news, since I'm on a kumbaya trip, let's do a story about some weed here. In illegal plant news, for the fourth year in a row, U.S. marijuana arrests set an all-time record, according to the 2006 FBI Uniform Crime Reports. Marijuana arrests in 2006... this is 2006 now, totaled 829,627, an increase of 700,000, an increase from 786, so basically 100,000 more. Current rate, marijuana smoker is arrested every 38 seconds, with a marijuana arrest comprising of nearly 44% of all drug arrests within the United States. That is a lot of money. According to Alan St. Pierre, executive director of the National Organization for the Reform Marijuana Laws, NORML, which I've seen some of their stuff, because you can actually do more time in the United States for smoking a joint than you can for walking down the street with an AK-47 and shooting people. Like, there are places where you will do more time for the joint. I'm not joking. Over 8 million Americans have been arrested on marijuana charges during the past decade, while arrests for cocaine and heroin have declined sharply. Now, don't get me wrong, I don't agree with people driving around downtown, you know, smoking weed. But if you're going to sit in the privacy of your own home, just like if you treat it with the same rules as alcohol, you know, there's lots of people get drunk. I'd rather deal with a bunch of stoners than a bunch of drunks. I'll tell you that. You know, provided it's weed, not, you know, any of the other chemical stuff, because it's kind of unique that way. But anyway, the number has increased, and, you know, the war on drugs, let's cut to the punchline. What are they spending on the war on drugs? What are they spending on that? Give it to me. What do you think? Oh, let's try $12 billion a year. $12 billion a year is what they're blowing on the war on drugs. Now, I'm here to tell you, there's probably better ways to spend that money. You know? I mean, it's like, $12 billion. You could solve the homeless problem with $12 billion. Seriously, like, you could throw some, like, give NASA another $12 billion. Like, dude, all right, well, after chasing that one, because, you know, we got to crack down on all these, All the nightmarish evil potheads. We got to do that. That's got to happen. You know, lock them up for sure. You know. But in child prisoner news, and there. Sorry, covered that one. In Oz clone news, human cloning has gotten the green light in Australia. Now this is an interesting story here. The Australian government has issued the world's first license for the cloning of humans, reports the Reuters news agency. Sydney IVF has been given permission to clone human embryos in order to harvest stem cells. Because these cells have the ability to transform into cells of all types, they are potentially invaluable in the treatment of some diseases. Sydney IVF will get access to over 7,200 ovules, but not the little O's, I guess that's O-V-U-L-E-S. But its work will be monitored by the National Council for Australia for Health and Medical Research. The council's chairman, John Findlay, has stressed the scientists only have enough right to work with embryos. They are banned from passing it to the next stage. You know, I keep on thinking about, you know, when I was working in assembly line stuff, and sometimes, you know, there'd be extra plastic that'd be floating around, and sometimes I'd take the plastic home. You know, they got these embryos here. Oh, this one didn't make it. Yeah, I'll throw it out. You know. And you wind up getting a couple embryos at home, you know, and you're kind of genetics. You know, you're sitting there thinking, hey, I'm a 30-year-old genetics engineer here. Got this cloned embryo. You know, I could probably, by the time I'm 50, whatever I create that's a human, there'll be about 20. I could probably get a good coin for that. I mean, seriously, if you were to harvest clones and sell them as sex trade workers, okay, how much money could you make from that on a circuit? You know, really? I mean, have you totally used the mind control and everything? How crazy could you, how much money could you make with that? And of course, people are going to be like, "Oh God, you know, Sean, why do you got to do that? Why have you got to, you know, just take it to that level? Why do you got to, you know, go that direction with it?" Well, the thing is that it's not just going to be me. It's not me who's going to be doing that. There's going to be people who are going to be doing that exact thing. Okay, they're going to be creating slaves out of this. I mean, what do you think they're going to be? What do you think they're going to do with this? Honestly, do you really think that no one's going to sit back and come up with that? I mean, I just thought of that in about 27 seconds and spit that out. I mean, it's insane. But I guess, you know, that's how you come up with good science fiction. That's how you come up with Tales from the After. Now, is all you got to do is look at this kind of stuff. And it's, you know, it's right there. I mean, you can't really deny it. It's not really great, but there it is. Now, after smacking you with those heavy stories, I wanted to give you something a little bit better. And what we're going to talk about here, people can search for this if they're watching the show live, is called the Five Finger KSO. Do a search for that. And it is the ninjas little piece of cyberpunk kit I've seen in a while. They look like tabby boots. But they're sandals. and they're totally insane. If you wear these out in public, people will just absolutely lose their mind. They're very, very slick, though. You'll look at them, and you will want a pair. From their website, they say, when you're scrambling up a rocky bluff or bounding along the riverbank, the last thing you want is gravel and grit seeping into your five fingers. The KSO is an all-new design with abrasant resistant stretch polymid and breathable surface mesh that wraps your entire foot in keep stuff out. A single hook and loop closure helps secure the fit. Non-marking vibrant T1 Performance rubber soles are razor sipped for sure grip. KSO, the KSO model, of course. Now listen to what this is best for. This is the best part. It's like you're a wog and you're shopping, right? You're looking for the best wear, you know, for what you're going to be doing. And the KSO is best for light trekking, climbing, bouldering, canyoneering, which I'm not even sure is a real word, running, fitness training, martial arts, yoga, Pilates. Okay, come on now. Pilates, you're pushing it a bit there. Sailing, boating, kayaking, canoeing, surfing, flats fishing. You cannot fish for pumps in them, though. And for travel. Very, very cool. So they're very, very nifty. And you can also tie knots in a rope and stick your toes through the rope and climb it like a ninja. You automatically have the rope ladder. That is going to be standard issue for me, let me tell you. And if you guys, incidentally, because my poor unfortunate Captain Morgan friend who's in the studio with me for the show brought over the new 5.11 catalog, which, oh my God, the new jumpsuits are so sexy. I don't know if you've seen the new jumpsuits, but very sexy. Totally, totally begging to get my boat on the go, I'm here to tell you. But anyway, let's get back to some hideously crushing and depressing news. Now, as we know, if you don't know, if you've listened to the show for a while, there's been a trend emerging within the United States. And the trend is they want to come up with this idea that there are smart people and stupid people. And this is like an idea they're trying to foster, because there are people who believe that in a bunch of years, there's going to be like the upper class and the lower class. And this is going to like totally separate to the degree where you have, you know, the totally uneducated lower class who are fed the crap food, so they're not healthy at all, and they're basically like cattle. And then you have the upper class, who are the super elite transhumanist crowd with the cash who can afford the mods and the upgrades. Okay, so you kind of wind up with this vampire and prey, Morlock and Eloy sort of structure. All right, and the whole idea behind this comes from eugenics, right? This is the whole thing that the Nazis were into. And it's I always keep an ear out for eugenic stories. And this one was sent to me by RU46, which was a very cool story to send in. Thank you very much, RU. But in eugenics news, people wanting to shirk responsibility for their behavior will be happy to learn they can blame their parents for almost half of it. An Australian psychologist has aggregated the results of hundreds of studies on human behavior and found 40% can be put down to human genetics. Now, this is where there's a book written by Michael Crichton just recently. I think it was called Strain. It's about a monkey. Somebody throw that in there. You know the one I'm talking about. It's or it's Gene or something like that. I can't remember what it's called. But it's a book. And he basically explains that this kind of a story is absolutely full of crap. They don't really know what they're doing with genetics, but the sad thing is that most people are going to, they don't know, they're not thinking, right? So they see a story like this, this gets a major play, and suddenly this becomes fact in their world. And you've seen these arguments where you're like, no, I read that online, and they're going to go on about their shit they saw on Fox, and it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous, and you try to get through these people, and you can't, so you wind up, you know, pissing your life away, screaming into a microphone and the internet so that, you know, hope somebody somewhere is just like you, and maybe, you know, they'll get the idea. But this is what happens. This is complete crap, but I'm going to carry on with the story, just because I have to do this. While there have been some studies done on specific behaviors, such as alcoholism or smoking, we are interested to see if we could put a finger on the genetic influences on behavior in general, said Dr. John Maloof from the University of England, who's not a Nazi. We looked at a whole range of normal and problem behaviors. We found that, normal and problem behaviors. What exactly constitutes normal behavior versus problem behavior? I mean, it's pretty obvious, I suppose. Like, you know, if you're like an eternal griefer of life, you know, I could see how that would be, you know, annoying. I can see how that would be, you know, a pain in the ass. But, you know, it depends. Where do you draw the line? Is problem behavior if you pick your nose? Should we be, blaming genes for that? And what we found was that, again and again, the genetic component of these behaviors tended to clump around the 40% mark. He said that this definitely makes genetics the single most powerful influence on a person's behavior over their lifetime. So, your genetics influence your behavior. They make up who you are. Your parents are who you are. The single most powerful influence on a person's behavior over their lifetime. Not your environment. Not your peer group. Not your religion. Not the books you read. Not the media you saturate. Fuck no. No, no. No, in fact, 40% of that is because of your genetic makeup. I'm like, I cannot scream bullshit with a big enough microphone on this one. This is just crap. If you look at what we know about the cause of behavior, it's hard to find another chunk so large. I think your measurements are completely off. If you'd like to, you know, with a short-term situation, may have strong influence on behavior. In the long run, genes are very important. Yeah, they don't dictate behavior, though. However, he was quick to add that genes were not destiny. Well, thank you. Thank you for that. An example I give to my clients is hair color, the specialist said. Hair color is genetically determined, like your personality. So if you're blonde, you're cool. Oh, no, I'm sorry. No, I was not head of SS for 6 years. Hair color is genetically determined. You're born blonde, redheaded, or brunette. You can change that, but you have to keep working at it. Unless you dye your hair every couple of weeks, it's going to revert to its natural color. Behavior is the same way. No, it's not. And I can counter your Nazi bullshit science with other Nazi bullshit science. I give you the MK Ultra experiments they did in Montreal where they were feeding chicks like mega doses of LSD and applying taser shocks to their head. They could format their fucking mind. They could erase all the memories and format people. And when they got out, they had to be retaught. They were a totally different individual Manchurian candidate style. That would not be possible with the genetic makeup model that this guy's trying to sell to you here. This is unbelievable crap. But you better be on the lookout for this. And more than this, the idea of this. Oh, those kind of people. Yeah, you know, Eastern Europeans, you know, they're a violent bunch. And Africans, yeah, they're, well, you know, they're not as evolved as everybody else. Right? Right? The Chinese, yeah, they're this way. Or the Japanese are that way. Canadians are this way. No, that's not the case. We are all influenced by our culture and our peer group and essentially our media. And that's about it. There is no hard cut stone. We, like, sure, there are people with differences. Absolutely. Okay, there are people with differences. A guy, you know, going and getting his doctorate in neuroscience is going to have some advantages over a guy with Down syndrome, but they're both people. Okay, so yeah, you have to make allowances for these differences. You have to understand that maybe not everyone's at the same level, but we can't just allow ourselves to fall into this default, you know, death camp mentality where fuck all this, we're just going to breed up the good people and screw everybody else. Because that's where this is going to... What are you going to do with this? Where the fuck are you going to go with this? What about the genetically inferior people that you find? What do you suppose they're going to say with this? And that's what these kind of stories imply. You know, I've got photos that my grandparents took, and this is in November now. We're coming up to Remembrance Day in Canada, right? Which, you know, every day should probably be like Remembrance Day. But still, I mean, we got these World War II vets. A lot of them are gone now. Not too many of them are left. But there was a time when they were walking through the ovens in the camps and they had no idea what it was that they were looking at. Incidentally, if you haven't seen it, Band of Brothers would be a fantastic watch this Remembrance Day. All you gotta do is watch the first couple episodes. That's all you gotta do. Watch first couple. You could stop after that. Yeah, just watch two. Watch first two, maybe three. And then you'll be like, oh, I'll watch one more. And then before you know it, it's like 5 o'clock the following morning and, you know, you've got these bigot bags under your eyes as the guys in the show and you're just getting into it. I'm here to tell you, it's important to remember that it is important to remember that the strong should stand in the way of evil to protect the innocent and the weak. You know, it is important. That is something that can be there. And I'm as, you know, I try to be as liberal as the next guy. I try to be understanding. There's stuff out there that I'm not liberal and understanding about. And there's stuff that I am. But bottom line, there is, you know, bad shit that is out there in the world that does need to be put down, man. And yeah, I do agree with George Orwell on some degree. I don't agree with a terrorist state. I don't agree with locking people up for sharing music. But just because that they've gone too far does not negate the importance of the fact that you have to remember the only reason why gentle people are able to sleep peaceably in their beds at night is because there are rough men lurking in the darkness willing to do violence on their behalf. And this is a fact, and if you cannot grasp that, if you cannot believe that, it is our morality. You only have the rights you're willing to fight for. It's the truth. You only have the rights you're willing to fight for. So if you're willing to stand up and have someone stand for you, you know, this is what it's about. And it's unfortunate now that law enforcement and military have taken the path that they've gone. I mean, it hasn't been a short time coming. It's been a long time coming. There's a lot of cops who are getting out now, and they don't recognize what's going on. It's very, very concerning. There's an ex-law enforcement agency that's trying to rally and change laws in a number of areas. So, you know, as WOGs, what does this mean to us? It means that we have to be smart. We have to keep our ear to the ground, and we have to stay invisible. Stay low. Turn on the thermoptic cam. Do not become a target. Do not allow yourself to, think that you're some kind of James Bond character who's going to get himself in shit. These are dangerous times we're living in, especially within the United States, especially in certain regions of the United States. And for God's sakes, don't try to make a name for yourself by getting your ass arrested and think there's some kind of political prisoner, because it sucks. And you're stupid because WOGs shouldn't get caught. You know, that's the whole thing, you know. Stay alert, stay alive. It's that easy. In Terminator news, you know, just because, you know, after that wonderful story. In the latest request from the Pentagon... The latest request from the Pentagon jars the senses, at least it did mine. They're looking at contractors to provide a multi-robot pursuit system that will let packs of robots search for and detect a non-cooperative human. Let me read that bad boy again. The latest request from the Pentagon jars the senses. Jars the senses? Jars the senses. It packs... freeze dries, seals in a container, launches into space. My senses are on a six-pack space pack getting snorted by the astronauts on the International Space Station. Are you kidding me? Are you fucking shitting me? We're looking for contractors to provide a multi-robot pursuit system that will let packs of robots search for and detect a non-cooperative human. I ask you now, brethren, please turn to page 257 of the Rifts Manual, where you will see the Botweiler, and hail, yes, it was foretold in the Palladium books that we would have robots that would do this. That's insane. One thing that really bugs me, just one thing, defense chiefs are having their troops diverted from other duties to control robots. So having a pack of them controlled by one person makes logistical sense, but I'm concerned about where this technology will end up. Given that iRobot, now this is great, you know, this is a great news story because it ties together a couple things. So we got that law passed. DARPA's like, hey, we want 40% of our vehicles to be autonomous by 2015. 40%. And we want packs of robots that'll hunt people down. Now, you take that and you get iRobot, the guys making the Roomba and stuff like that, and the guys making the bomb disposal robots. They struck a deal with Taser International, whose stock is at an all-time low. It's like at $4 a share right now, guys. If you got an extra 20 grand, fucking sink it into Taser, because these guys are going to get huge. Anyway, iRobot struck a deal with Taser International to mount stun weapons on its military robots. How long before we see packs of droids hunting down pesky demonstrators with paralyzing weapons? Now, that is a sport. That's a sport right there. That's American Gladiators all over that. It's Escape and Evasion TV. We'll go find, like, some abandoned town, right? Do it all up. Buddy's got, you know, weapons out there, and the robot's got tasers. And you could kill the robot, but the robot can only tase you, so you have, like, 50 cals out there and shit. You can have EOD and tripwires, and you have multiple droids. And you just keep on releasing droids from the fringe of the city, and the guy with the highest kill total, he's the reigning champion, you know? It'd be amazing. That's entertainment. This is why it's important you subscribe to Rant Media. You see, we've been talking just recently now. The way that we're going to be doing things at Rant Media is we've got to get some financial backing on the go. We got some ideas about trying to open some resorts. We got some really good ideas about trying to expand the studio and further media. We do have books in the works. The new After Now novel is on the way. But if you would like to be part of the backbone of the revolution, that's going to be something that's going to be the craziest thing ever. I mean, my visions for what I'd like to do is, it looks like a cross between Life Aquatic and Apocalypse Now. I mean, it's just going to be absolutely crazy. So if you'd like to help with that in some way, or if you think that the amount of entertainment you've gleaned from anything Rant Media has done is worth it, please subscribe and buy us a beer every month. If you subscribe, it's a lot better than handing us $50 and saying, hey man, I got a couple extra bucks, thanks so much. $5 a month, not a lot of cash. Not a lot of cash. Sign up, do a subscription, $5 a month, you won't even notice it. You probably drop $5 a month to change, be honest. Okay, if you do that, and we get enough people out there over the longest time, if we were to get, say, 2 people a month to do that over a certain amount of time, eventually, I would be able to follow up with some of the craziest shit that you've ever seen, and you people would all be able to download it for free! It's a fantastic idea! And with this kind of stuff, by the time that this becomes feasible, I prophesy that if I had some, you know I would do it. That's the really great thing, too. You know I'd do it. You totally do. It's not like I'm saying I'd do it, and I wouldn't actually do it. Fuck no. If I had the finances, hell yeah. I would do it. I would film it. And we'd probably have to do it in, like, oh, Christ, Thailand or something like that. But anyway, where was I with this? I just totally went on it. iRobot last year stuck a deal to mount stun guns and military rolls. How long to see PAX droids hunting down pesky demonstrator with paralyzing weapons? Or could the PAX even be lethally armed? I asked two experts on automated weapons what they thought. And both were concerned that the PAX of robots would be entrusted with tasks and weapons that they were not up to handling and making wrong decisions. Steve Wright of Leeds Metropolitan University is an expert on police and military technologies. Last year, correctly predicted this pack hunting mode of operation would happen. The giveaway here is a phrase, a non-cooperative. The giveaway phrase here is a non-cooperative human subject, he told me. What we have here are the beginnings of something designed to enable robots to hunt down humans like a pack of dogs. Once the software is perfected, we can reasonably anticipate they will become autonomous and become armed. We can also expect such systems to be equipped with human detection and tracking devices, including sensors, which detect human breath and the radio waves associated with the human heartbeat. These are technologies already developed. Another commentator often in the news for his views on military robots' autonomy is Noel Sharkley, the aerobotics engineer of the University of Sheffield. He says he can understand why the military would want such technology, but also worries it would be used irresponsibly. This is a clear step towards one of the main goals of the U.S. Army's Future Combat Systems Project, may as well book that right now, which aims to make a single soldier the nexus for a large-scale robotic attack. Independently, the ground and aerial robots would have been tested together once the bits are joined. There will be a robot force in the command of a single soldier, which potentially dire consequences for innocents around the corner. What do you make of this? Are we letting our militaries run technology amok with our tax dollars? Or maybe we should just have a big cup of shut the fuck up and let people who we pay within the military who know a lot more about it make the decisions? Let's be real. How much tactical training have people really had? Probably not a lot. What I see with this is Americans making American robots that get blown up rather than the American kids getting blown up. From a military standpoint, you gotta like these things. You gotta like them. They don't get your people killed, and they do the job, and if they can put non-lethal weapons on them, even better. We have the technology now to make deathless war. That has never been seen before in the history of the world. We could take a city now, by force, without killing anyone, because of things like tasers. Tasers specifically. Of course, people will wind up dying. Of course, that will happen. But comparatively, if everyone went in there with guns, I mean, we're talking about, less than a percentage point in comparison. Very, very interesting stuff. Now, apparently as well, a U.S. tech giant in Cyberscape News, a U.S. tech giant's joined in a move to protect the freedom of speech online. Google, Microsoft, and Yahoo on Tuesday unveiled a code of conduct aiming at defending online freedoms against attacks by oppressive regimes in China, Africa, Middle East, and elsewhere. Nothing about the ones in America, though. The Global Network Initiative, bringing together internet companies, human rights organizations, academics, and investors, commits the technologies firms to protect the freedom of expression and privacy and the rights of its users. The initiative, which follows criticism of the firms who are assisting censorship of the internet in nations such as China, requires them to narrowly interpret government requests for information on censorship and to minimize cooperation. Attacks on freedom of information and privacy are on the rise worldwide, and the GNI is a budding alliance of technology companies united in response to what's seen as an unreasonable request by government, according to its founders. It's a global phenomenon. It's not just China, said Robert Mahoney, director of the Committee to Protect journalists. In the Middle East and North Africa, there's lots of repression, particularly of journalists. We believe that by acting together, we have a better way to change the behavior of governments. While China is perhaps the most sophisticated regime when it comes to internet snooping and censorship, its tactics are spreading, according to Colin McKay, acting director of the Berkham Center for Internet and Society. Well, of course, China's the testing bed, right? They look at China as the place where, you know, they're getting a lot of this stuff from. If you look at where they're going with this stuff, I mean, if you look at where the testbed is, it's China. China is where everybody looks. China is a beacon. I mean, these guys got execution busters. They got these guys. They arrest these dudes who are part of the Falun Gong. Yeah, sure, it's a crazy cult. Okay, great. Falun Gong, crazy cult. Good enough. They're not as damaging as Scientology, I put it to you that way. Okay. And they're not trying to help these people. They're like, put them in jail, torture the living snot out of them, and then they carve them up and sell off their organs for, you know, export and stuff. You've got the whole medical tourism thing there. Need a liver? Go on over and get yourself a nice brand new Falun Gong liver. They're even vegetarians. You know, you'd think they'd sponsor the Falun Gong. It'd be like that movie The Island, where you got all the guys living there, and when they need the organ, they just, you know, you win the lottery! Hooray! And then before you know it, you get all chopped into pieces and shit. That's where we're going, guys! That is where we are going, unless we stop it. Unless we are willing to stand up and say, no more, I've had just about enough. Thank you very much. Now, today's daily hack is the best of the best, the Hive of Five winners. Our High Five features a series of answers to the most frequently asked questions of what we hear at Lifehacker. What's the best tool for the job? And in the past 6 months, we've covered our five best tools in a number of categories, but from the best instant messengers and DVD ripping tools to antivirus applications and BitTorrent clients. Each week, we ask our savvy readers to vote for the one tool they like the best of the top five. The winner represents the best of the best. Keep reading to look back at winners from each of the High Five. Of the Hive 5. And as well, we've got some Recomedia today, which is an interesting one, considering we're talking about the whole eugenics thing. And if you want to see how powerful eugenics can be, you might think I'm like beating a dead horse with this one here. But you guys need to understand is that the Nazis, they rose to power because they used very, very powerful psychological tools. Okay? They used very, very powerful psychological tools. And they manipulate crowds using mass manipulation techniques. And this Recomedia directly relates to that. It was sent to me by a guy called Dotlock. Sean, you've talked a lot about how you feel that skin color is the same as eye color, and I believe it's so myself. So when I started working on an ISP, I watched something called The Eye of the Storm. You may have seen it, but here's the link. It was made by Frontline. I hope you can pass it on to others so they can pass it on, and so on. From Dotlock. And this is from the actual Frontline page. This is the most requested programs on Frontline history. It's about an Iowa school teacher who, the day after Martin Luther King Jr. was murdered in 1968, gave her third grade students a first-hand experience in the meaning of discrimination. This is the story of what she taught the children, the impacts of their lessons on their lives. It's a 46-minute program, and it's available for free, as in beer, for download. Now, what she did was she separated everyone. And she said that, you know, like, the blue eyes here, the brown eyes there, blah, 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 right? So, if you're gonna, like, and then once she got them all isolated, she's like, okay, well, brown eyes are actually not as bright as the blue eyes, but it's not your fault. And the kids are all like, oh, and then they had to deal with that, and then she changed it around, that it was wrong, and, oh, yeah, it's really an interesting thing. So if you want to study the social dynamic of the whole thing, it's really, really neat. But that's all I got for you today. Don't worry, I'll be back next week to make sure you get the news you need to survive. This has been a free podcast brought to you by the Wogs Who Care and the Wogs Who Subscribe. If you cannot donate or subscribe, please, please distribute. Give the show out. We do the show for free so that we can communicate with people. We're not making any money on this. Well, not yet anyway, and even then we probably won't make money. I'll just wind up spending money filming stuff that's better than anything you've seen on television. But if you can, do now donate or subscribe, which I would prefer from donations. If you can subscribe, please do so by clicking on the Donate tab on the Dark Atlas website, or you can send large amounts of raw gold bullion at Rant to Rant Media Studios, Box 18121, 1215C, 56th Street, Delta, BC, Canada, V4M2M4. And I want to thank the Army of the Flying Monkeys for their assistance in gathering data. If you have information that you would like to send me, you can reach me at newsreel, N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L, at randradio.com. If you like the music in the background, of course, check out the Psytrance. And I'm going to, of course, fade out now with the track from Mad World, which was... it's Mad World. It's a remake of a Tears for Fears song that was used in the Donnie Darko soundtrack. Very, very cool. I can't remember the name of the guy who's doing it, but that's where you can find it from. Very easy to find. Very cool song. Kind of dark, but I like it. Remember, everyone, we will never defeat the enemy or we're at each other's throats. So until next time, that's what Server said. End of line.
All around me are familiar faces, worn out places, worn out faces. Bright and early for the daily races, going nowhere, going nowhere. Their tears are filling up their glasses, no expression, no expression. Hide my head, I wanna drown my sorrow, no tomorrow. No tomorrow. And I find it kind of funny, I find it kind of sad. The dreams in which I'm dying are the best I've ever had. I find it hard to tell you, I find it hard to take. When people run in circles, it's a very, very mad world. Day they feel good. Happy birthday, happy birthday. And to feel the way that every child should. Sit and listen, sit and listen. Went to school and I was very nervous. Tell me what's my lesson. Look right through me, look right through me. And I find it kind of funny, I find it kind of sad. The dreams in which I'm dying are the best I've ever had. I find it hard to tell you, I find it hard to take. Run in circles, it's a very, very mad.